Okay, it's Monday, December 23rd, the Christmas Eve of Christmas Eve. The eve of Christmas Eve is today, and a lot of stuff's happening. Oh my gosh, we're buying the Panama Canal. We're going to buy Greenland. We're going to make Canada a state. What say you, Dan, about what's going on
No.
today?
Well, first off, I like your stocking cap, your K Kansas Jayhawks. I got to go to a KU game yesterday, thanks to a great friend, Dr. Keith Jantz, just a brilliant doctor now retired, but still speaks across the country. And actually, is talking here, sitting there at a KU game, talking about you and what we do, that he might be a good guest on some health issues on top 10 things to do to stay heart healthy, which might be a good thing. So we can talk about that. But KU, amazing place. I will just tell to our listeners that they should write right now, webtalk@withbob@gmail, and say, Dan's right, that experience at Allen Fieldhouse, all the museums when you first walk in, all the history, then you go into that court. I mean, it was like, I'm a Nebraska football guy. Memorial Stadium and Allen Fieldhouse are the two greatest things that I've ever experienced in sports venue.
Yeah,
Now,
it's a special place. My mother-in-law, my wife's mother, was a major KU fan. Major. She knew all the players. She watched all the games.
yeah.
I wrote a letter to Bill Self, and I said, "Dear Mr. Self, my mother-in-law is blah blah blah, has been a fan of yours and the team for years. She watches all the games." And I said, "She would love to go to the game and meet some of the players." And bingo, he sent us four tickets, and she sat right behind Bill Self.
Serious.
Oh yes, and
Awesome.
we gave Self a bottle of wine. He was very appreciative, and yeah, it was great. And she made a lot of comments. One comment which she made was that she said, "Bob, they cuss a lot,"
Oh,
because she was one row back. She could hear everything.
no
Yeah, she
kidding.
loved it.
Wow.
It was a
Look at
time of her
that.
life. I've got a number of photographs of her at the game right behind the players.
Well,
It was
that's.
years ago, but it was a big thing in her life. I was surprised that Bill Self even answered, but he answered with really good tickets.
That's a power. There's something for listeners to learn. The power of the ask. So many
Yes,
people are afraid
right.
to ask a tough question. And if sometimes when I do some coaching, I say, have one
Yeah.
bold thing you do every day. Have one bold ask, whether it's, asking out a pretty girl, whether it's asking for a raise, whether it's asking for the deal. And what you did was a bold ask, and that memory maker moment for your mother-in-law
Sure.
was there.
I
I got a
had a
great Bill Self story. Speaking of Kansas basketball, because who knows, they made this year the Final Fours in San Antonio, and I think that's where Kansas won their last one of their national championships, was in the Alamo Dome.
Well, on
So
your point about the ask, I had a group of people that worked for me years ago. There was about eight of them, and they were all in graduate school, by the way. And their graduate school project, which I gave them, was to study Southwest Airlines and why they were so successful.
beautiful.
And so they studied them, and they sent a letter with a summary of their study to the then president of Southwest Airlines, who now I've forgotten the guy's name.
Yeah.
He sent them all tickets to go down to Dallas, met them with a limousine, gave them a tour of Southwest Airlines, gave them a 6-foot cardboard statue of him, and sent them home on
You
a
kidding?
Southwest jet.
You're kidding.
So the point you make, which is true, is that people are afraid to ask. In my case, I could give you many examples of where we asked and the people just responded. We had no idea. Like, I had no idea the president of Southwest Airlines would send this whole group tickets and treat them as almost like celebrities when they got down there. So they
The
were very
Southwest.
excited.
The
And years
Southwest,
later, I'm still flying Southwest. Yeah.
yeah. Yeah, isn't that true? One winsome moment, the Southwest way that they did makes a huge, huge difference in echoes. Now, what's happening
his name
is
was Herb
Kelleher.
Herb Kelleher.
Herb
That was it.
Kelleher.
Right, right. And
yeah.
I remember when I had I probably had 30 graduate students or students working on their graduate degrees working for me. And we did that ask thing many times. You know, I would say, just send them a letter and ask them.
Yeah.
Ask the president. Send a letter right to the president. People would say, well, gee, we can't do that. And I said, well, then call them on the phone.
Yeah.
Just get on the phone, call the head office, ask to speak to the president. You'll probably get their secretary, but basically ask, because people first like to be asked. And the fact is, a lot of these presidents of large companies don't get asked because people are afraid to ask them.
Exactly. Just like the prettiest girl in the room, nobody goes and talks to her because they're afraid to go talk to her. The power of ask. I know I had a sales manager that taught me that many years ago, by a guy by the name of Mike McNeely. I said, what's our ask? We'd go into a big demo or presentation. What's going to be our ask? The big ask at the end.
Right.
And, you know, to get to the next step. And then I used that when I was in sales management. And, of course, you know, I got a few W's on the wall there behind me for our people that are viewing us on our YouTube. And you've written, I think, 12, I won't call them help in different industries, books, plus four novels. I've only written two. And one of my books, of course, I write about you in the shameless plug in the Winsome Way, good book. But I also write, here we go, you talk about it's tying right in, page 122, five winsome companies, of which Southwest Airlines
that's
is
good.
One of them.
Now, while I'm thinking about it, what's the name of the congressperson? Her middle name is Winsome. I sent you a screenshot of her.
Oh, yeah. She's not a congressperson. She's a lieutenant governor in Maryland or Virginia.
Okay. My
she's running for governor.
You send her a copy of the book.
Well, you know, I reached out to her because she became, like, I wrote the books in 2019. I think she started to come into the world of politics and the front page in about 2021. So I did send her a note, and I didn't send her a book. But
well, how'd you send her the book? By mail or email?
No, I did not send her the book. So I should have.
Well, what good are the books behind your? If you have a book at home, it's wasting space.
Yeah. Yes. But anyway, so you know, we've already talked about KU basketball, Southwest Airlines,
buying the Panama Canal, which I think is a great idea.
Wait a minute,
I'm surprised that Trump just throws that out there, like, let's go back and buy the Panama Canal. We actually did build it. I don't know if anybody's ever read any books on the building of the Panama Canal. Very interesting. People had typhoid. They died of, what's the disease? You get malaria.
Malaria, yeah.
I guess it was one of the worst construction jobs that you could imagine.
Yeah.
We owned it for, I don't know, 40 or 50 or 60 years, I guess. And then I think in the late 90s, I don't know exactly when, one of the presidents, whoever it was, I don't know, Carter or Bush, maybe.
Carter. It was during the Carter. It was like 79.
Gave it back to Panama.
77,
why
79.
Why in the world would we ever do that?
Transitioned it back to Panama to be nice. Now, I will say, what do you say? You're, you know, as an expert witness, what do you, when you know that there's been a factual mistake in the courtroom, what do you say? Point of order? Robert's Rules of Order?
I don't say anything.
Oh, well, we're not. Now, I say this with a smile. Trump doesn't
want
to.
Don't say Robert's Rules of Order. Okay?
Why?
Because it doesn't matter. They,
okay.
You don't
well,
follow
in Congress,
Robert's
it's
Rules
supposed
of
to.
Order. In a courtroom, you follow what the judge says.
Okay. Well, in this case, I'm smiling because Trump doesn't want to. He's not said he wants to buy Greenland.
And
so we
the
got three
Panama
things
Canal.
Going on. He wants to buy Greenland.
Yeah.
He wants to just take back. His words are, we're just going to take back the Panama Canal.
Okay, take it back. Right,
yeah.
Good.
Then the other thing he wants to do is, like you said, make Canada.
And I think what I mean is none of those things might happen, or maybe one or two of them. But the idea that he's thinking like that tells me how a broad thinker he is. Because for one, openers, we should have the Panama Canal. Because it is a national security thing. If somebody would come over and bomb that, I mean, the Panamanians can't protect that.
Right.
Not
I
unless
don't
we're down
know
there.
what they're doing that's troubling him, but I absolutely agree with you is that we paid for it, we built it. We should not have just gifted it to them. There should be very limited, other than the cost of operating costs to get through the canal, which quite frankly, right now, it probably needs to be widened again. I don't know how wide or what, you know, if these big crater ships that carry these big cargo things can go through there. But, you know, Donald Trump, sometimes I smile at some of his thoughts. I don't like the way he approached it. Why don't you just go, same thing we were talking about last week, you know, they just start tweeting. So he just goes to a conference in Arizona and says, I'm going to take back the Panama Canal.
Yeah,
that's not the way to initiate a successful art of the deal. I'm surprised he does it that way.
But, we'll see. But the point he's making, of course, is that we probably supply most of the ships that go through it. Most of the fees are probably paid by us or American shipping companies. So we support it. My guess also is we provide military support because they don't have a military, as far as I know, that could protect a missile. A missile hits the Panama Canal, that's a major problem. That's just, that's not like, because that means oil would now take maybe another 45 days to get to somewhere else than it would with the Panama Canal open. So it's a national security issue. So he might take it back in many different forms, right? He could take it back from the standpoint of saying, you know, I'm going to put 5,000 military down there to protect it. You know, I want to share in the revenues, have you pay for the military, but they have to do something because it's like in your heart, you have the aorta valve. You know, that's really an important valve. And Panama Canal is really an important valve in America. And it sits out there for somebody to just bomb it.
Yeah, I wonder what the length. Let's ask Google here. Hey, Google, what is the length of the Panama Canal?
51 miles. According to Wikipedia, the Panama Canal is an artificial 82-kilometer, 51-mile waterway in Panama that connects the Atlantic Ocean with the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah, we can't hear it.
51 miles.
51
miles.
It's
like from here to Topeka, Kansas.
Yeah. Anyway, I think it's a good idea to do something about the Panama Canal. I don't really understand Greenland. Who owns Greenland now?
Denmark owns the king or prince or whoever, prime minister or whatever, president of Denmark has already said, and that's what, I mean, I try to look out for the good of the president of the United States, in this case, Donald Trump. So already you got Europe going, what is he talking about? Denmark said, it's not for sale. We told him that once before, it's not for sale. Now, that being said, everything's for sale.
Exactly. Now, what about Greenland? How many people live there? What do they call them, greenies?
Hey, Google, what's the population of Greenland and what do the people there call themselves?
In 2023, the population of Greenland was 56,865. According to Wikipedia.
Again, we can't hear it. You'll have to tell us.
Okay, 56,000 people, and they call them, hey, Google, stop. What do people in the country of Greenland call themselves as their nationality? She's not cooperating. She's on strike. She's like, oh, there we go. There's another topic. Starbucks. Now, I prefer, make me boring, Quick Trip coffee, which is mostly in the Midwest, to Starbucks coffee, both for the price, and I think it tastes just as good. But Starbucks, what do you think about the unionization, now 12 states of Starbucks employees?
I think if employees want to become unionized, they certainly have the right to do that. I don't think that they then have the right to keep other people from working there just because the unions are there and other people are members.
Ah, yeah. Yeah, good point, Barrett. Now, that's a very reasonable, fair approach to it that honors the right to, you know, negotiate as a group, plus it honors the individual. But you're just on fire today with fairness, Bob. You're just very fair.
Well,
to
that's
me.
always been, by the way, that's some states have laws that actually, once they have unionized a company, all the employees must join the union. Other yeah. states have right to work laws, which means everybody else can be in the union, but you can't force me to join the union to get a job there. But realistically speaking, you will end up joining the union because you'll be ostracized by the other union members, and they will also accuse you of benefiting from their negotiating. So they negotiate a better deal for themselves, and even though you weren't part of the negotiation, you weren't part of the union, you would benefit by some other benefit that's that the company yeah, has to give to all employees.
And you didn't have to pay the union dues.
Right. So what happens is that once a company becomes unionized, then all the members are going to be not legally compelled to join the union, but practically speaking, they're going to end up joining the union. Or they're going to be ostracized by their peers.
Yeah.
And so as far as being unionized, if Starbucks isn't paying their people enough to keep them from joining a union, then fine, that's their problem. You know, the way to keep people from joining a union is pay people fairly, or overpay them, but keep them, make sure they understand that union just takes money from you.
Yeah.
Once you join a union, you just gave up 10% of your money.
Yeah. 10 years ago, people would go, pay people $15 an hour. What? Remember that? It was like, California's doing $15 an hour.
Yeah.
Minimum. And now most companies, to get a decent employee, you got a minimum wage is kind of out of the way unless you're a restaurant server. And that's just shocking to me. So that'll be interesting to follow. Because they certainly can't raise their prices any, because their prices are, they're pretty proud of their coffee.
Well, I'm fundamentally against a minimum wage. The minimum wage is not helpful, in my opinion. And I'll tell you the argument people give for a minimum wage. They say, without a minimum wage, we can't pay our people, let's say you're a McDonald's or Starbucks, enough money that they can buy a house. McDonald's has never said their people are working there to buy a house. It's a starter job, right?
Yeah.
That's what you do where you're working on your degree or something like that. So I'm against the minimum wage because it requires a company to do something that maybe they don't have to do. When I say don't have to do, it means if people will work for me for $5 an hour, then I should have the right to offer them five. And they should have the right to accept it or reject it. If that's not enough, then I have to raise it. But to compel me, a business owner, to pay somebody a certain amount of money, irrespective of how good a job they do, I'm always against the minimum wage.
Hey, let's switch.
It doesn't make any sense anyway. Minimum wage. And by the way, I guess that means that you'll get a minimal work out of the people. You know, it's just, I think companies should be able to hire who they want, pay them what they want. And if the company can't hire enough people under those criteria, then the company has to deal with it. They have to raise the price. They have to raise the benefits until they get their people to work there.
So Donald Trump appointments.
Yeah.
You and I, gosh, almost 2 years ago now when AI first came out, you in your ever intriguing mind and asking questions, we did a meetup thing for about a year that helped people understand the basics of AI, which a lot of people still don't, but we were out front and up front, which is always a good thing. Trump appointed an AI czar. I think it was David Sachs.
Who is he?
David Sachs, his background, he's a billionaire. Interesting. No, wait a minute. Let me just make sure. I was looking him up.
He's not the PayPal founder, is he?
Earlier, and I got sidetracked. He's going to go currency. I think, let's just go dive further. Yes, he is. Look at you. He's 51. He's got a bachelor's in economics from Stanford. Great school there. You used to hang out around those people, didn't you, out there?
Was he the co-founder of PayPal?
Yeah. Did I not answer that?
I thought you did. Anyway, so sure. He's ADD. Elon Musk's buddy. Right.
ADD Avenue. That's why I didn't answer it, because my brain bounces around.
He's on Elon Musk, co-founder of PayPal, is that guy.
Yes.
And I'm all for giving these billionaires jobs. They need the work.
Well, hopefully they used their vast resources and contacts and interest to make something good. But it's interesting. Now, here's my banter. I know you've got, again, you always are studying things that are new. You'd studied Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, and various things you've been doing. And Trump has talked about, now this is where we might banter, because it bothers me a little bit that he comes out and starts a crypto company during the campaign with his son, Donald Trump Jr., and now he promises he's going to make 10% of the federal treasury backed by crypto or something along those lines. And he's got to divest himself, as he did, I think, with yesterday, $4 billion worth of his Truth Social stock. But there's question marks there.
What are they?
Well, hey, don't go speak at the crypto convention or the Bitcoin convention. Get them all excited. First, 2 years ago, he said he's against it, and now he's for it. Nobody uses the term flip-flop anymore, but he flip-flopped from first he was against it, and now he's for it, and now he's starting a company in it. So I think he has to go delicately, not like talking about the Panama Canal or Canada or Greenland. He can't
I don't
just
see
say,
why. Why should he?
why should
He
he?
thinks crypto is going to be important. He should say, I think crypto is going to be important.
Agreed. But he should let this David Sacks be the
Should
guy.
what?
David Sacks should be the guy that introduces it to the nation, not just
Well,
Trump's
I don't
son.
know who should be introducing it. I don't care who introduces it. If Trump wants to talk about it and it drives crypto up in value, no difference in him talking about EV or talking about Ford or General Motors or Intel. Because anytime he talks positively about any company, then naturally that company's equity is going to increase in value on the stock exchange. So he has to be able to talk about something. And so I'm all for him talking about what he's for. If he's for crypto, fine. If that
Yeah.
drives up the crypto stocks, terrific. Then let's all go buy crypto, right?
That's
The
right.
nice thing about him talking about it is that people need to be aware of it because that's where the world is headed. Other countries have already established their own cryptocurrency. We don't have one. China has theirs already rolling. So you can actually deal in crypto backed by China. We don't have
China.
ours yet.
You got to
So
say China,
go get
China.
ours. What difference does it make? We have
Yeah.
dollars, we have gold, we have other items of currency. Why not crypto?
Okay.
In other words, the only thing in my mind is I don't go buy crypto because I don't understand it that well. I'd like to understand it better, but none of the people that I deal with will take crypto as a currency exchange. Now, if I lived in Florida or Southern California, where they do a lot of crypto exchanging, it might be different. But if Hy-Vee or Allstate or State Farm start taking crypto, I'd buy some crypto. Why? Because crypto is naturally going to go up in value. The dollar isn't. The dollar is destined to go down in value over time. That's what happens with inflation, right? But crypto doesn't. Because they don't make any more crypto. We print dollars. So therefore, the dollar, the value goes down over time. So what I'm driving at
That's
is that if State Farm, who I buy insurance from, would say crypto, I'd be buying crypto tomorrow and pay State Farm with my crypto. As
okay.
would many other people, once they understood that cryptocurrency is fixed, but the dollar isn't fixed.
Okay.
I wonder if people
Crypto. I
really
don't know enough
understand what
about
I
it.
mean by that,
I
huh?
just. I guess I'm one of those Americans, which I'm not traditionally a cautious man. I sometimes go boldly into stuff, but I'm cautious about that. Perhaps because I don't have the economic personal status that I'd like to yet to take 10% of my money and put it in crypto. Probably a lot of Americans are that way. Why? Because the economy of the last
So
three to four, five
you'd
years.
prefer to keep your money in dollars and every year have your dollar have less value.
Yeah.
You'd prefer that. That's
No, I
caution.
wouldn't prefer that. No, if I would have had that
But
money,
that's what happens. Every year your dollar has less value.
do you remember like how many years
Let's
ago when
stop right
people
there.
said
You
you had to learn?
recognize every year your dollar has less value.
Well, I don't know if that's fact or not.
Oh, well, you can look it up, right?
Okay.
Any economist, anybody that does anything about money knows what a coffee, how many dollars did it take to buy coffee 10 years ago, right? The
Yeah.
dollar's value goes down every year because we print more dollars. We can't keep going over this basic economic things every time. If you print more dollars, the value of the dollar based on its purchasing power goes down. Crypto goes up. Why? Because they don't print more
Limited. Yeah.
crypto,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So crypto is an inflation hedge. So people that say, oh, gee, I don't want to go into crypto. I'd rather keep my money in dollars and have my dollar buy less every year rather than do something smart like buy some crypto, have it go up every year. I mean, the crypto
Yeah.
people saw their crypto go up from 60,000 to 100,000. And what has your dollar gone from? You know,
Not
thank God
doing what we
the
want.
foreign currencies have gone up relative to the dollar, else we'd have a export import problem. Thank God right now the currencies in other countries have gone up relative to the dollar. So it allows more imports to come in. But that doesn't last forever, right? We
Yeah.
almost have parity with the euro. We almost have parity with the Japanese yen.
Yeah, so here's the elephant in the room today. The elephant in the room
Yeah.
today on
Is what?
Monday, December 23rd, 24.
Yeah.
And
Is
I'm not
what?
ever one to wish anyone ill. I don't wish Matt Gaetz ill, but the elephant in the room and the only reason I bring it up is I was saying literally 4 years ago, 5 years ago that there's something that about Matt Gaetz that I don't feel good about. Now,
Well,
do
you're
I
right,
wish him
obviously, right?
ill? Do I wish him ill? And I had so many people saying Matt Gaetz is great.
Well,
He's
one
all
thing you can say about him is he's stupid.
well.
He has no brains.
Yeah.
Because if you were going to buy sex, would you do it with a credit card or would you do it with a currency that's auditable? So they
With
find out
Venmo, yeah, with Venmo.
he's buying sex, he's purchasing sex, he's purchasing it from a 17-year-old, and they can track it. I mean, an idiot would know at least pay cash.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so he needs to be gone just because he's dumb.
Well, you know what? And maybe it's just I'm thankful for wonderful parents, small town Nebraska upbringing. Had the Catholic nuns and priests that kept me in line
Yeah.
in good conscience. But how could you do all those things, constantly deny it, and then it be proven, documented, testimony? There are going to be some people that say it was
Well, wait
rigged.
a minute. I don't understand the question.
My
Of course you
question
know the
is,
answer. What's the
what's
answer?
going on in the brain of a person?
Oh, but you know the answer, right?
Well,
What's
you
the
just
answer?
said it.
Huh?
But you said the answer earlier, didn't you?
What is it?
You said he was stupid.
Well, that's one thing.
But
That's
I
one
think
answer,
the other
right?
thing, and
Now
I don't
you're
ever
asking
call some.
what goes on with somebody because there's a devil in the world.
Yeah, that's right.
There
There
are
is. There's
evil
good and evil.
people. There
We
are
all have on
crooks.
one shoulder, we got this voice saying, go ahead and do it. Sin, have sex, cheat,
Yeah.
and the other angel is saying, hey, that's not
Look,
right. It's not
you
good.
know what a bell curve is, right?
Yes.
What is it?
Well, it's first on the way up, and this is good because that bell curve is really true. Even with Southwest Airlines that we talked about, everybody loved them.
Okay.
But anyway,
A
bell
bell
curve.
curve is a curve that looks like a bell.
Yes, upside down. Oh no, it doesn't upside down. It's a bell.
To right side up. Now,
Yeah.
at the ends of the bell curve, those are called outliers, OUTLIERS. And at each end of a bell curve is about 2 or 3%. 2 or 3% on the left of the bell curve, 2 or 3% on the right of the bell curve. Those are outliers. The people that I see go to a school and shoot somebody or drive a car into a Christmas scene and kill 200 or hurt 200 people, those are outliers.
Yeah.
Those aren't people in the middle of the bell curve. I am a person in the middle of the bell curve. You are too, more than likely.
Yeah.
But are we ever going to get rid of the outliers? No, because that's what a bell curve is. We got crazies on both sides. And I don't know how you're going to ever stop the crazies, because there's always going to be some crazies out there that do unbelievably stupid things. This guy in Germany who gets in his car, and that area of German area, that town that they were in, is a very famous town in Germany for Christmas tree ornaments and festivities, right? He drives a car into a crowd. Now, I don't know, was he found dead or has he been captured?
I don't know the status. I
Yeah,
thought he
I
was
mean, to me,
captured,
he
but
doesn't even deserve a trial. He just goes immediately to jail for the rest of his life. And hopefully, maybe somebody kills him while he's in jail.
Yeah, do you remember in all the Westerns, in the Western days, if you stole a horse or you stole cattle, they just right then and there they strung you up on a tree. They
Willie
hung you.
Nelson wrote a great song about it, about the gray, right? Never, never, never. You remember the? You never heard that story, the song about Willie Nelson about the gray? Some
No.
woman came down. He rode into town in a gray, and some woman came down and tried to take the gray, and he shot her immediately because that's the one his wife rode, and nothing happened. Never,
Willie
ever ride
Nelson.
the gray, right?
Yeah.
It's a great
That
song by
guy,
Willie Nelson. Anyway,
he's
going back
amazing.
again on the issue of
Gates.
today, I mean, we've got the Panama Canal, we've got Greenland, we've got, I mean, here's my big question. Where the hell is Biden? Where is he?
Yeah, he's got, well, it's the 23rd. He's got about 28 days left in office. I think he's just trying to lay low. Kind of, remember Muhammad Ali when he fought George Foreman in Zaire? What tactic did he use? The rope-a-dopa. He hung up against the ropes, took the punches. Biden, you got one side. Everything he does, they're spotlighting that he's out of it. He's not thinking. Some of the pardons, he's doing a lot of pardons, yet he's not on the all-time top pardon list.
Didn't he pardon everybody on death row?
Except for like child murderers, or there are certain people he didn't pardon, but he pardoned some. Yeah, he pardoned a lot of people. It's getting a lot of
Now, just
news.
so we're clear, pardon doesn't mean you get out of jail.
No, he commuted them, I should say, to life sentences, those people on death row.
Yeah, and that's why I asked to bring it up, because in the media, when they report it, they use the term pardon.
Yeah.
And I think the correct term is commuted the sentence. In other words, they're not going to die, but they're not getting out of jail. But I'm not
Right.
sure. I mean, did some of the people he pardoned, are they going to get out of jail?
I think some of the offenders in his previous pardons that sold marijuana at small amounts are in there for, so now that marijuana is becoming more. But I think, and this is historical, it's sad. I remember the first person I ever voted for president was Jimmy Carter, just because I liked him. Folksy, small town guy, smile. I liked Jimmy Carter. I thought he was truthful, good character. But everybody for years, what? Jimmy Carter's the all-time worst president. No, he wasn't. If you look at what we're going through now with the wars, Jimmy Carter was really great at peace accords, getting people to Camp David and to the White House and peace treaties.
Yeah, he was the one that didn't do anything when Iran had 270 hostages.
Well, he
Just let
tried
them
to do
keep
that.
them.
He didn't do it right. He didn't do it
Wait,
right.
wait a minute. Did he leave the hostages in Iran? Yes, he did. Did he do
Well, they
anything to
got
try to
out
recover them? No, he
the
didn't.
inauguration day, on the day that Reagan came in. Now, remember, they did
Reagan did
try.
something. Reagan said, "Let him go, or you're going to get penalized for this," right? But Carter, they were in there for a year and a half under Carter.
Well, remember, the Carter did initiate a three or four helicopter to try to go get him, and the helicopters weren't equipped for the dust. We didn't know how to,
Okay,
and
so
they.
you're not using that as a defense of Carter, are you?
Well, I'm using. You said he didn't do anything. I'm
That's
saying he
exactly
did
what I
try to do a
said.
rescue.
Sending four helicopters over there that don't work or don't have the right weapons or aren't equipped to actually recover them, I call that doing nothing. That's exactly what
Well,
that
now
is.
it's banter time. It's banter time, Bob. If you send your best and brightest, and you get the Pentagon officials, they didn't know what they were going to face every time you send in men into harm's
You
way or
keep
women.
defending the indefensible.
No, it's not indefensible.
Well, I
because
would not
there's some
defend
people
them.
That died.
Here we
They,
have
you
the
know,
biggest
not that
military
anybody's ever
in the
going to
world,
listen.
the biggest intelligence, the best helicopters, the best weapons, the best jets, the best this, the best that, the smartest people, and we can't figure out how to go get 240 hostages back out of Iran. We
well,
didn't try.
In 1978, when he tried, we didn't have the same things we have today.
Well, we had a hell of a lot more than they did, for sure.
Bob, he did the best he could with the information and the technology.
He could have said, look, release the hostages or I'm going to level Tehran.
Well, he could have done that.
Very simply. Could
but
have
that wasn't
it.
Jimmy Carter's
style.
Well,
let me ask you a question. How did Reagan get him released?
Well, Reagan worked in back channels, and he did probably make threats.
Reagan threatened, probably Reagan. Reagan didn't say, please, please, Assad, Ayatollah, please release the hostages. No, I'm sure he said, look, you can release them or not, but they're coming home or I'm bombing something in Iran.
He said, well.
Because you're not getting them back because you ask.
He said, well, yes, well, peace through strength. Yes, well.
He threatened them.
Yeah.
And they thought, and they knew he was no damn Jimmy Carter because Carter hadn't done anything for almost 2 years.
I guess my point, fast forward, that's a big word for me, similarly, they're trying to now paint Joe Biden in that same brush of worst president ever.
Well, I don't really care how you label any president. It means nothing to me. Biden, I think, did a couple of really good things.
Yes.
The CHIPS
Act. The infrastructure bills once in a generation.
Yeah, the infrastructure is really important to me because it means every trip I took twice as long as I navigated through the orange cones. But having said that, having said all of that, he did do the CHIPS Act, although he spent several years not releasing the money, right?
Yeah.
I've never figured out, this goes back to Trump, I've never figured out why Trump was against that. And I wish somebody would ask him that question because he's not stupid. He knows the CHIPS Act was good. We spent money on chips. That's good. No, there's no argument about that. But there must be something about the way the money was spent that Trump didn't like. Because one of the best things we could do is instead of spending $100 billion, we ought to be spending like $500 billion.
Let's get him on an interview here and we'll banter with him because I agree. How in the world could you be against investment?
Well, like I said, the guy's not stupid, so there must have been some reason, but I've never heard anybody ask him the reason. Why were you against it? You know, now I could think of several hypothetical reasons, but I don't know the real reason, right? He could have been against it because there was some pork bell attached to it. He could have been against it because most of the money went to foreign semiconductor companies, right? He could have been against it for that reason. I don't know. But in any event, he was against it. I'd love to know why, because when he's back in office, he's got to do something for the chip companies.
I think he was against it. Only based on a little bit of a hunch and some information is that he had talked about doing something about it during his term. Same thing with infrastructure. He said every year for 4 years, I'm going to fix the infrastructure and didn't do it. Same thing with chips. He didn't get it done. So now it's somebody else's idea and doing it, and he doesn't like it. So he wants to belittle it.
That's kind of criticizing him. I'm not criticizing him. I'm actually just saying we'd like to know why. That's all.
Yeah.
Because he's not stupid. The guy is not stupid. If the reason was political, he could say, well, it was political, but there's got to be some reason behind it, because every time I've heard him ask a question, he gives some answer. May not like the answer, but he gives an answer. So here's where I thought. Here's what I thought here. So I don't know what he thought about that, but I'm all for. Well, the CHIPS Act is very complicated because in principle, a lot of times people are against just awarding companies money. But I don't see how we have any choice, right? Now, I'd be in favor, for example, of giving Boeing, you know, $200 or $300 billion just to protect our interests in the airplane business, right?
Yeah.
But realize there's going to be a lot of companies that will say, well, if you give them $200 billion, give me some money, right?
Sure.
That's the problem with democracy.
So let's switch from chips to crunch. Good old crunchy peanut butter, which I like to eat as a snack
because
it does have protein and things. But if I read the back at this, where I'm getting, and you always like me to get right to it. Kennedy's going to be Health and Human Services. I think he's going to go after the food companies because all the stuff here, hydrogenated vegetable oil, all the oils here that are dextrose, all this
the average consumer has no idea what that is.
Well, they don't. And that's just it. If I'm the maker of that or many foods, they don't know. Now in Europe, they tell the manufacturers, even when they come in from the United States and manufacture, they tell General Foods or whoever, I love General Foods products. They say, you can't put that in our products, and they sell it in Europe without the bad stuff. So how long do you think it will take to get that food industry turned around? You think 1 year, 2 years?
From a practical standpoint, a couple of years, because the steps they have to take, and this is the detail, is the labeling protocol. Labeling protocol is extremely difficult even to understand. Now, we have a college here locally in Kansas, which specializes in labeling protocol for food. So if you're introducing
K-State, isn't it? K-State?
Yeah, K-State. If you're introducing a new food, the United States of America, and you want to know what should I put on the label to comply with the labeling protocol, then you could send your food to K-State. They send it through some tests. Now, I know this. Why? Because I was investing in a company that was developing a new food, and I had to go visit K-State and understand how the labeling protocol worked. Now, it's very complex, in my opinion, but to answer your question, is that a couple of years, because you not only have to determine which of these ingredients are bad, whatever that means, right? But then you have to basically get into the labeling protocol system. Probably there's more labeling colleges in K-State. Maybe there's 20 or 30. They operate off of software that's probably approved by, Health and Human Services, right? So now you got to get into the software that actually designs the label. Now the label design is part of the actual issue. How big the fonts are supposed to be, what words can be on the label, those are all almost legal things, right? So you've got a very complicated issue to change labeling. And on top of that, you have a hard time people agreeing on what hydrogenated butter is or something like that, or some ingredient, It's like, go ahead.
That's just amazing that so far in this banter with Bob, now we went from crypto to chips to crunchy peanut butter and what's inside of that. That's why people listen to us and should write into Web Talk with Bob.
We know a little bit about a lot of things, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And we do know
labeling,
a lot of things about a few.
I've had direct experience of that. I was shocked. I went up to K-State. We had to submit our food material. And in fact, I think it was agricultural material that we were going to feed to farm animals. And that had to go through a labeling protocol.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because what
K-State
we feed them eventually goes into
gets
fed to us. What we feed animals gets fed to us.
Well, and one of the things I looked at up there was the label for a hot dog. What's acceptable? And it actually says on your protocol that if you did a hot dog analysis, it allows I'm going to be wrong about this, but I'm going to be close to being right. It allows 0.02% rat hair. That's an acceptable ingredient in a hot dog.
Rat hair.
Well, somebody's going to, if you think I'm wrong about this, check it out. But I know this, there's some weird things that goes into a hot dog that's okay for the testing protocol.
It's okay. Now wait a minute. Now, you know how the world of social media works.
Yeah.
Somebody, the headlines, you talked the other day, we talk about that they just write the headlines, right? They just put the headlines. Somebody is going to write a social media post. Bob Sherwood says it's okay for rat hair in hot dogs.
Yeah.
They won't forget all the facts of what you really said. That's the way our society's running. That's a whole nother conversation.
Well, what do you think I said, by the way?
I think you said you went out there to study that in this particular case, using hot dogs as an example, in what could be in hot dogs. You were very clear and said in their protocols or their guidelines, they allowed 0.02% of
according
rat hair.
To the Health and Human Services protocol for a hot dog, the ingredients allow things that would make most people throw up.
Yeah. And what I'm saying is, in this world of social media and news, somebody would headline it.
You know who Nate Bargatze is?
Nate Bargatze, not Nate Bucati of the sports world here in Kansas City.
Bargatze is a guy who's been on SNL. He's done some famous things, like he does one of George Washington talking to his troops. He's got two. He's a famous guy. Well, the point is that Bargatze's got one where he's George Washington. He's in a boat and the troops are talking to him. And he says, we're here to, take back America and become free. And he says, we're going to even have food that we're going to name ourselves. We're going to have the right to name our own food, and we're going to name some of our food a hot dog. And don't worry, there'll be no dogs in it. Well, one of the people on the boat, he has, his military uniform on, he's with Washington in the boat, says to Washington, what's in a hot dog? And George Washington says, get out of the boat. Guy says, what? And George Washington says, get out of the boat. And he sits down with the other military people and he said, no good American would ever ask what's in a hot dog. Now, Bargatze is a famous SNL comedian. And if you haven't seen his skits about George Washington, he will blow your mind. I give you one quick one here. We've got a couple minutes, but in one, he's got two SNL skits on. And one of the skits, he says, hey, he's talking to his troops. And he said, we want to win the war because we want to be able to name our own foods and name our own words. And he said, for example, some of our words, we're going to take out the word you, except for the word glamour. So color will not have a you in it, but glamour will have it. And in one case, he says, and we're going to name our own links. We're going to get away from kilometers and kilometers. We're going to have our own units of measure. We're going to have feet and yards. The guy says, well, how many feet to a yards or yard? He says, three. And he says, well, how many yards to a mile? And Bargatze says, nobody knows. And he said, then we'll use liters for some measurements, but other things like for milk, we'll use gallons. And somebody says, well, how many liters to a gallon? And Bargatze says, nobody knows. It's a funny bit.
So Saturday Night Live, George Washington, Nate Bargatze.
Yeah, I think his name is
probably
Nate,
can find
Bargatze,
that on YouTube.
Right. He's going to be in Kansas City next September, 2025. He's already sold out.
Serious.
Yeah.
I love that. Well, we coming up in January, although we'll be on between now and then, but we got some great guests coming up. We might try to get one of those Saturday Night Live people or a comedian. There's some local comedians I know that are outstanding. And as we wind down, any words of wisdom? I mean, we've covered everything from peanut butter to technology to disease. I mean, what another day on banter.
Here's my final one. If you subscribe to Paramount Plus, or even take their free trial, if you want to learn some new words, watch Landman.
Well, you'll learn some old words there too.
You'll learn some old words too.
Billy Bob Thornton. Now he was in one of my all-time favorite movies, Armageddon.
Yeah,
that's a good show. It is. It's a little bit of a, not unlike Ted Lasso had a few bad words, and everybody loved that.
No, he's got much worse than that. He's got conversations with his daughter that would make anybody blush.
Yeah, and it's a good show. It's an interesting oil show, and yeah, that's good stuff. And so I don't know if we'll be on before Christmas or maybe a Christmas special, but for sure after Christmas, and we just wish Merry Christmas to all our listeners and viewers. We're now up, going to be live on YouTube. You can find it. You can find the link on Facebook or on LinkedIn under Dan Snell. Maybe Bob, I'll put it up and send it to you. And you can start watching, because the key is when we banter, today wasn't too bad. Maybe we're softening because of Christmas. But when we banter like last last show, we really get at, and you have to be able to see the faces, the facial expressions on the banter. That's worth your time. So to everybody, well, Merry Christmas.
We have another couple minutes left. Can you show the video of your banter for just about a minute?
Our banter opening?
Yeah,
Let me get it up here real fast. Hold the phones. Make sure you let me be able to share.
Well, I'm not sharing anything.
Okay, hold on. Hold on here. I got to find it. Here we go. All right. Hold on now. Okay. Let me open it up here. Share. Boom. Okay. Let me go back to the start. Let me make sure I can hear the sound here. You can hear the banter.
All right, turn it up.
The opening, we'll get this. We're going to cut this opening shorter. Building.
And now, get ready, folks. It's time for Banter with Bob Sherwood and Dan Snell. Banter.
Throw it out. It's worthless, blah, blah, blah. You don't attack people.
You sure do. Absolutely, 100%.
You put forth
ideas. If you don't attack them, they don't know you're attacking.
All minds talk about people. Great minds think about ideas.
You could not get anything done in Congress because you don't attack anybody.
Oh, I would get a lot done.
Stop sharing. You would never get anything done.
I would get a lot
done. People would run over you.
I got a track record of getting gigantic things done.
Hold on, I'm a development leadership. Don't bring up the Shawnee Mission Council thing.
Okay, what?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, stop sharing. Yeah.
Okay.
Now we're gonna terminate, and I want to talk to you for a second. Okay. Merry Christmas to everybody. We'll see you in a few days. All right.
Okay. All right.